The cross is my beginning. The line drawn in the sand. The end of all my striving. Now I am born again. That Jesus was forsaken. So I will never be. His grace is my salvation, the gift of God, the work of Calvary. It is done, it is finished. Christ has won.
Glory to God. Yes, it is finished. Great song by Passion. And you and I must have that mindset that what is finished is finished. What is done is done. You know, we've got to say what God says. We've got to stand with what God says. We've got to, you know, just have faith. And that's what we're learning this week. You know, having faith in the finished work. Faith in the finished work. If God says it's finished, it is finished. So welcome to your morning faith boost, your morning energizer. I believe that everything gets better and better and better, that we increase in revelation, we increase in understanding, you know, we just increase, all right, and our faith super strengthened. We walk in the reality of all that has been done for us. We walk in the reality of all that has been made available to us. So welcome to today's episode. I believe it will be great for you and I. Amen. So we're learning about faith, you know, faith in the finished work. So once again, 1 Peter chapter 1 and the 10th verse into the 11th, it says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. When it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. And I said to us that, you know, is a wonderful thought, all right? Wonderful to look at the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. In Luke 24, we see Jesus, you know, addressing the two disciples that were on their way from Jerusalem to Emmaus. In the 25th verse, he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. 26, now, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? All right, so we see, you know, Jesus saying it here first, but I just wanted to kick it off again from Peter, because he talked about the sufferings of Christ and the glory that will follow. Sufferings of Christ, the glory that will follow. So Jesus is saying here, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? So there was a suffering, all right? And then there is the entering into the glory. Did you get that? There was a suffering, and then there's the entering into the glory. So if he suffered, so how does that affect us? And that's what we're learning, faith in the things that he's done. If he suffered, how does that affect us? Faith in the finished work. So he suffered. He suffered. We know he did. But now, all right, there's a glory. There's how it impacts upon us. So looking at Isaiah 53 graphically describes the suffering. So I'm using the NIV for this. Isaiah 53 from the first verse. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, all right, like a root out of a dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. I mean, this is describing Jesus, but I believe this is when his suffering, you know, had begun. Some say, oh, all through his life was an abandoned person. But I read through the Bible and I see the crowd following him. So I don't see the crowd abandoning him, all right? So he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Not in his appearance that we should desire him. But hey, I mean, we see people inviting him to meals. I mean, hey, come have lunch, come have lunch. So we see that. We see Mary, Martha, all right, in the house. We see all of that going on. So Jesus, you know, all through his life wasn't one that was rejected and nobody wanted to be with him or talk to him or, you know, any of those things that sometimes I imagined. No. Are you getting that? Now, I believe this is describing his suffering, you know. So let's just stay with NIV. I think NIV just still makes it clear. All right? You're with me on this? Okay. So let's just do NIV still. I was thinking maybe should we do NLT or something? All right. So he had no beauty or majesty to attract him to us. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind. A man of suffering, all right, familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised and we held him in low esteem. I believe all of this described a suffering Lord. People abandoned him, all right, but his visage, his look was mad, all right, when he began to take upon our sins, when he was flogged, when he was beaten, all right. Okay, so Jesus was whipped. I'm sure you've seen, I mean, even if you've not seen the Passion of Christ, you've seen what now? Jesus of Nazareth. They tried to depict what the suffering looked like, how horribly, horribly what now? How horrible his appearance was. All right, haven't been beaten. I'm trying not to, you know, sometimes I try to describe, you know, what we even think might have happened. People go, so don't let me do that to you. This morning, but he was beaten, all right? It wasn't just, you know, the way you were flogged in high school or secondary school. No, this kind of whip tears out the flesh, right? So let me stop there. You know, I can't see your face. I don't, that, you know, and then you can't see me, nah. All right, but it wasn't smooth. So he was being ripped already. I mean, blood, I mean, crown of thorns already on his head. Blood is flowing. I mean, they're whipping him, blood is flowing, you know. So there's a loss of blood already. And with that loss of blood, he had to walk all the way with the cross. You know, if you remember, he had to fall down along the way. They had to get someone, you know, to help him with it and all. So there was loss of blood. You have beaten someone, all right? I mean, you beat him with whips that had like iron teeth that would pierce through him, you know. And also, I mean, this is suffering, all right? It was physically, you know, messed up, all right? Physically messed up. So I'll pick that chapter 2 again. Verse 2 again. He grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of a dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. Once again, hope that's clear. People hung around him, you know, up until this whole suffering thing. Verse 3 says, was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised and we held, you know, him in high esteem. Verse 4 says, surely he took up our pain, he bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished. Should I do King James here? Okay, let's still go. Surely he took our pain, bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. Please watch this. Four again. Surely he took our pain, bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God. Please understand this, all right? Stricken by him and afflicted, all right? Last week I was saying that we see what the people did, but while there was the thing going on in the physical, there is the path that was going on behind the scene, or that still went on behind the scene that we couldn't see. We couldn't see it. Okay. Five. But he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and with his wounds we are healed. I'm going to stay on Isaiah 53. We're going to read down to the end, and I want to pick two things from here that I need you to quickly see before we continue going on. Number one, all right, there was the suffering for sin, all right? Then number two, there was the bearing of sickness. Please get this. There was a suffering of sin, or for sin, and then there was a bearing, the carrying of sickness. Those two things happened on the cross. Those two things, now you and I must have faith in what he did and what the Bible says he's done about those two. Please get this, all right? If someone went through this much pain, if somebody went through this much suffering so that you and I could experience something, then the greatest way to say, oh, thank you to the person is to walk in the reality of what he's done. You got in it, right? Walk in the reality of what he has done, all right? You've got to get it. So verse 4 again, we go, surely he took our pain, took up our pain, all right, bore our suffering. He took up, that took up your pain. Are you getting me? All right, bore your suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. Stricken by him, afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed, all right, for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Let me run through from verse 6. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us have turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So he was left carrying the sin of mankind, all right? He was despised or oppressed, all right? I'm 7 now. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. I told you yesterday, he wasn't helpless. When Peter cut the ear of Malchus, he was saying to Peter, I could have asked my father, I would have sent angels, and they would come here to deliver me. I'm not, you know, helpless. I need to go through what I'm going through. Verse 8 says, by oppression and judgment, he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? All right, he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor any deceit found in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him, all right, and cause him to suffer grief. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offering and prolong his days, his offspring rather, and prolong his days, and we will. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, all right, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous one justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with transgressors, all right? For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. So we see here, guys, we see here all through Jesus, all right? This is very descriptive. Don't forget where we began from, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that will follow. The sufferings of Christ, the glory that will follow. The sufferings of Christ, the glory that will follow. So in the sin of Adam, sin came in, death came upon all humanity. Jesus took the place of that death so that he would suffer what we would have suffered, and he took it away. So he died for two things. He hung on the cross. Two things going on here. Number one, he paid the price for sin. Number two, he took upon himself sickness. All right. So quickly run through each. All right. One after the other. So let's get to 1 Peter. I know you know 1 Peter. So 1 Peter gives us just like putting together everything that happened here in one verse. So 1 Peter chapter 2 and 24. I know you know it. Let's see it again. He said, he himself, watch this now, he himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness, by whose stripes you have been healed. So 1 Peter 2:24 in one verse puts in summary two major things that happened in Isaiah 53. He died for sin, he carried the sickness. He died for sin, he carried the sickness. He died for sin, he carried a sickness. Peter introduces one word. He uses the word, he says, he himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness, by whose stripes, all right? He said, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. So something happened. Sin was taken away, but man wasn't left without, you know, just without, all right? So, oh, we don't have sin, praise God. We don't have sin, praise God. So he leads us to a thought. So sin was taken away and then righteousness was granted unto us. Now, that didn't happen on the cross. Okay, but the sin part, all right, had to be taken. He had to go 3-day journey and then he got back. And Romans chapter 4 and 25 says that when he was resurrected, we were justified, all right, because there had to be a justification. All right, so you find two things. Now, 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. Now, let me still read this verse one more time. He himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live unto righteousness, by whose wounds, all right, by whose stripes you have been healed. Your faith has to come here. Did he hang on the cross? Yes. How long ago? It wasn't last night. It was a couple of years back. And couple like a couple, you know, like that was like, I'm talking about 2,000 years ago. So two things he did. He took sin, imparted to you righteousness. All right, so looking at the whole 3-day journey now, took sin, imparted you righteousness, but took away sickness. So is there any pain in your body? Is there something happening to you? All right, something that affecting you? You have to, okay, I have to have faith. Oh, but you say I do, then you have to be aggressive about it. All right, put your foot down no matter how horrible the pain is, no matter how horrible the condition is, and say, no, he took my pain. This is what he did for me. Same way also, all right? 2 Corinthians 5. So 2 Corinthians 5 and then the 21st verse. So allow me pick you from the 17th verse. We know the 17th verse. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. So just making it simple. Therefore, 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. If any man is in Christ, all right, the new creature has come. All right, I'm using NIV. If any man is in Christ, the new creature has come, or the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. I want you to notice verse 19. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Please notice verse 19. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Not counting people's sins against them. So one of the things that happened on that cross was that Jesus was charged with our sins. I said to us last week, if you look at Leviticus, there was a high priest, right? Then there were the two goats, all right? The one that will be sacrificed and then the one that was a scapegoat. Upon the scapegoat, the high priest will lay his hands and transfer, all right, the sins of the people over that. And then on the other one, the goat is killed, all right? And the blood is offered. You know, the goat is killed, the blood is offered. Two things. So you find those two being Jesus, all right, and then he approaches the throne of grace in heaven as the high priest, all right, taking the blood to the mercy seat up there in heaven. So one thing you've got to understand is this: blood was shed, but him being the scapegoat, he had to take upon our sin, upon himself our sin. He had to become it. So he had to become the sin. Please understand this. He had to become it. He had to become it. He had to become it. So he himself became. All the sin of all humanity is now taken by him. So who then gets punished? It's him, not you. Please get this. So your inability, God's going to judge me. God's going to judge me. God's going to punish me. No, punishment has been put upon Jesus. You know, punishment is on him. He suffered for you. He died for you. Thank you, Lord. Let me try and rush up. I want to make sure I cover like a few verses and still end up on health. All right. So verse 19 again says that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was reconciling the world, you know, through us, all right, as if God was reconciling, right, the message, the world through us and giving us the message of reconciliation. Let me just skip quickly and read 21 very well. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God made him who had been, you know, who had no sin to be sin for us. This part is always easy. Growing up and trying to share this with people, everybody doesn't have a problem with, oh, he became sin, he became sin, he became sin. Then when we get to the B part, oh, that we might be made the righteousness of God, everybody feels, no, that's not possible. Nobody's righteous. And like, okay, let's believe the word. If we believe the A, then let's believe the B. If he was made sin, why was he made sin? You remember what we read in 1 Peter 2:24? Who his own self bore our sins on his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins would live unto righteousness. All right. So in taking away our sins, something happened to us. We became dead. We died to the influence of sin. We died to the power of sin. All right. 1 Peter 3:18. All right. You might not be familiar with this, but you need to be familiar with this verse. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh and made alive in the spirit. I'll take that again. For Christ also has once suffered for sins. He suffered for sins. The just, he was just. Like 2 Corinthians 5:21 told us, he knew no sin. He didn't do any sin. All right? He didn't do anything. He didn't do any sin, if you get the way I'm saying it. All right? So for Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, all right, but quickened in the spirit. So he suffered for sins. He took the pain. He took the punishment. All right, he went through it. Why? Because he did something wrong? No. And then by judgment, by pureness of judgment, you don't punish two people for the same offense. Do you get that? He took away the sin. He took away the punishment. So God looks at you in Christ and says, you are righteous. But you're like, I didn't do righteousness. Yes, because of what he did, you become righteous. Romans 6:1 now. Okay, so I'm almost at the point where I could say, okay, we'll finish up how I had intended today. Romans 6:1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? That question really, in listening already, might feel like, okay, so he took away everything. So what do I do? Verse 2, by no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live any longer in it? Now, I said some teachings ago, there's a difference between dead in sin and dead to sin. All right? The person, you know, like in Ephesians chapter 2, you find the word dead, or you know, the phrase dead in sin. Dead in sin is for someone who is still in it. You are dead in it. So the unbeliever is dead in sin. All right? We, as he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. So the language used in Romans 6 is dead to it. Dead. Dead to it. So verse 2 again says, by no means, all right? We are those who have died to sin. How can we live any longer in it? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we also should live a new life. This is the effect on us. Verse 5 says, for if, watch this now, we have been united with him, all right, in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self, please follow, our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. Our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. So the power of sin, guys, was broken when Jesus did what he did for us. Are you getting this? Usually, I tell people when you get hooked by a habit, all right, or you trip into sin again and again and again and again and again, come to Romans 6 and read, you know, from verse 1 to 14. You could share this with someone and tell a person, read it like severally. Read it sincerely, severally. And you will see masterfully, clearly explained here that the power of sin has been broken. The power has been broken. That thing shouldn't control you. You know, because there's always that I can't control it when it comes on me, or when the feelings come, or when I'm around this thing, or I'm around that thing, or I'm around this person, or, you know, and all of that. And yes, in the actions of the flesh, it seems so real, so true. But then you expose it to the light of God's word. You just realize that the weakness of that power of sin that you thought was powerful is exposed. It's exposed by the light of God's word. It's exposed once you bring it under the light of God's word. All the, I can't do, you just realize, no, I can. I'm empowered. Glory to God. All right? So, verse 6 now says, for we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. All right? That we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Don't forget, you are dead to sin. Dead to sin. Dead to it. So if you put a dead man, right, who was an alcoholic, right, and he's dead, you put bottles of booze all around him, you know he's not going to get up to drink anything. No matter how, you know, he could, you know, how irresistible that was, all right, while he was alive, now that he's dead, he's now dead to it. He has become insensitive. He can't respond. I mean, put the thing back. I mean, pour the booze around his head, his mouth, everywhere. He's not going to wake up and like, hey, I'm back from the dead. I got to take my booze. It's irresistible. I had to resurrect to get it. That would never happen because the person who is dead, verse 7, is free from sin. I would like to encourage you, read the rest of the verse on your own if you can. Just to 14. We're almost at 14 anyway. Read it up to 14. You know? So I want to touch health just for somebody's sake, wherever that person is right now. Allow me, all right? But this is saying the power of sin is broken. So on that cross, he hung on the cross, became sin. He didn't just, you know, take away your sin. He took away the power that sin has to control you. Read Romans, read it down to 14, please. You can read it down to 16. You can read it down to the end, all right? But I just, you know, tell people 2 to 14. The power of sin to control us has been broken. The power of sin to control. So you didn't just give us a new nature, but yet sin, no. So when you resist it, you are resisted with the revelation of God's word. That's the best way to do it. You can't just resist it with willpower or promising God, I'll never do it again. I promise, I promise, I promise. No, 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 no. Resist it with the word of God. Resist it. Two things happened on the cross. He took away sin. He took away sickness. In Romans chapter 5 and the 12th verse of Romans 5, the Bible says that through one man's offense, death, all right, sin entered the world and death came by sin. Then death spread upon all men. Sin opened the door to sickness. So the moment Jesus dealt with sin, he definitely dealt with sickness and disease and death. It was one blow. They came in once, he knocked them off once. So you go into God's word and you resist. You resist. You resist. So Bible says in Isaiah 53, by his wounds you have been healed. 1 Samuel 24, by his wounds you have been healed. You have been. Matthew 8:17, we're going to end with that this morning. All right. Matthew 8:17 says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet saying, himself took our infirmities, carried away our sicknesses. Child of God, he took your infirmities, carried away your sicknesses. No matter what they say is happening to you, Jesus took it before you were born. It's taken. Fight the fight with it. Take your meds. Do what you need to do. No problem. But don't let that take your faith fight away from you. He took your infirmities, carried away your sicknesses. Have faith in the finished work of Jesus. When he said it's finished, he knew what he was saying, all right? So we put it up to it's finished. So even when he said it and still had to go into hell, cross, I mean, we can, at the end, he sat down. So something finished. So you and I must put our foot down and say, yes, he died for me. Yes, he took away my sickness. Took away power of sickness, took away the power of sin, took away the power of anything to control me. You're liberated in Christ Jesus. You are the victor in Christ Jesus. You are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. I want you to face your day with this reality that in Christ, sin cannot control you. Sin cannot have dominion over you. Read that, please, in Romans. Read the 1 to 14, please. Sin cannot have dominion over you. Romans 6. And then remind yourself, by his wounds, I have been healed. Every symptom I will face, he took it all away. So I'll fight it with that mindset. I believe you've been blessed. I look forward to us hanging out again tomorrow. Have a very, very, very beautiful day.